why don't we just start calling them like ridiculously high numbers? Like we've been doing this for fucking years.
Oh shit.
Welcome to podcast 1075, aka 8. As ever, I'm Greg.
I'm Richard.
Tommy.
And this week's podcast, we have Reading, Watching, Playing, we have some news, and we have a very spoiler-heavy Age of Ultron review. So, crack on.
Okay, so we're going to go on to Reading, Watching, Playing first, as we usually do. Everyone likes a wee bit of familiarity. I do. And we're going to start off with Reading.
Reading, that's me.
You fucking nerd.
I haven't been reading, I've been looking at pictures with words, which is comics.
So you've been reading?
I have, I.
Don't let anybody say that as a reading man. There's no reading there, I never read.
No, reading this week, reading Saga, which is the Brian K. Vaughan latest ongoing series, and very much enjoying it.
Cool.
Even though it's weird as fuck. That's my opening statement. I've been thinking about this for a long time, and I'm like, yeah. It's just really weird. Right. It's the concept of it is basically like a planet and a moon have two races. One race has a race that have like wings, and the moon has a race that have horns, and they're at war with each other. But none of them can destroy each other, because if they destroy each other's planet, the other planet will die due to gravity or something like that, right? Basically, it's like a Romeo and Juliet thing. Two of them fall in love, have a kid, and both the planet and the moon find out about this kid and want it dead, so they hire assassins to come after this couple and try and like kill them and bring the kid back. And it's just basically them trying to escape. I read the first two trade volumes, and so far it is quite. It's just a big, massive, really fucked up sci-fi universe with these two characters trying to survive in it and make their way across it. But like the character design in it is just mental. I was saying to Tommy earlier, it's like someone's got a child to design everything. Like they fly about in like trees, like one is like a tree. And like there's like characters with like faces like in their stomachs, and like there's like one guy flies about in like a giant acorn and stuff like that.
Alright.
Someone's got that. It's like a primary school person's designed all the characters and all that sort of stuff. And then they've just made it really fucking dark like at the same time. So it's a really, really twisted it's a twisted universe, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
Would you agree with that? Because you've read it as well, eh?
Yeah, yeah. I've read nearly as much as you've read.
I've read more, though, because...
Because this is your topic.
I read more.
I read an extra page so that I could be that powerful. But it's quite... One thing I thought was quite strange about it, it seems to be told from a narrator's point of view, but the narrator seems to be the baby, like the child.
So it's almost like the child is telling the story.
Aye. Yeah.
That's how I met your mom.
Yeah, well, aye, yeah.
Kinda like that.
Aye, kinda like that, aye. But yeah, it's weird because there's like the kid can... There's one thing that was alluded to in it that it's like the kid seems to can be able to get like possessed by spirits almost, because it says like, oh, this is like my first babysitter, blah, blah. So it seems like it's going to have, like the kid's going to have like loads of different personalities and that through. I'm not 100% sure where it's going.
Does that come through in the narration? That the kid's being possessed.
Yeah. It's almost like the kid's telling the story now, like it's grown up and saying like, that sort of stuff. But at the same time, the story's like there and now. If you get me. But yeah, it does. It kind of like the kid will say like, oh, yeah, this happened or like this caused this, and it's quite cool. I mean, there's loads of layers to it, because like all the different characters, like the two like assassins get hired. They've got like subplots and they've got like. And what we say to Tommy is, I don't know who's the goodies and the baddies. There's no obvious, like, evil fucker and saint, if that makes sense. Everyone's they've got redeeming qualities. Everyone.
Mm. And that's quite strange. So.
Yeah.
It's got this thing where, out of the couple, you know, they're both part of different species, so they're kind of like star-crossed lovers, Romeo and Juliet type of thing. But the character trait for one of the species is they all have horns.
Yeah.
And they kind of look like, they've got ram's horns and little horns and big kind of
different
kind of
horns. There's a guy that's like a rhino in it as well. There's like one guy that just appears in one scene. He's like a giant rhino, but they all have some kind of horn.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the females from a species who've all got wings, but they're all like different sizes, shapes, and stuff like that.
Have any of them just got like flies' wings? like normal.
The main character's wings are quite sort of like dragonfly-ish.
I meant just like human, just like, with a set of flies.
Like a little bee or something.
It's kind of reminiscent of like when I seen it, I was like, oh, like, right, okay, so he's from the bad set because they've got horns, so they're like the devils. So that's like the hell. So that's like the bad guys. And then the other crowd's got wings, so they're like the angels. But it's not really like that, is it?
No, I didn't even look into it that much, to be honest. But no, but there's also like the guys have got horns. All have like magic, like that's like their thing is like magic, and like the winged folk just use like weapons, really.
Yeah, they're the kind of science guys,
like sort of like army, like regiment, and all that sort of stuff. And it's just like they, like I say, like they just fight. But one thing I quite like about it as well, one of the concepts is that because they can't directly attack each other because the two planets need each other, they've like hired the war out to like other like species. So they're
so if you're from a poor planet, you can be like, I pledge allegiance to one race, and then you are then part of the army, you're part of that group, and then it's like an economy in itself and stuff like that. It's really
cool. And it sounds really confusing, but that's the thing, it's really simple to follow. Like, it I was quite worried about it being a huge universe, but it's...
Because it sounds like it could be like massively expansive, and you could get so many different subplots that could make make themselves known throughout the story. But it definitely sounds like something I should be reading, because Steph's got the very first trades issue of it.
Yeah.
She made her way through it, and I think she said she wasn't too overly enamoured with it, but has wanted to go back and read it since. And I quite like the look of it. Like, it's just the guy and the girl on the front with the wee baby. And
aye.
It certainly sounds pretty cool.
There's quite an interesting thing in it as well, where you don't know. I'm getting the impression that the baby is like some kind of like superpower, if that makes sense. Yeah, like it has that. Some sort of like
it's a crossbreed thing.
But man, yeah, it's only there's four trades out at the moment, I think.
All right.
So it's like it's not exactly like kind of one of these things where it's like, oh, okay, like trade 21, kind of like you got to do like miles and miles of catch up. It's only like four trades, but
so it's ongoing.
It's ongoing. Right. Yeah, it's ongoing. But I mean, it was like, did you ever read Why the Last Man?
Nah, criminally I haven't actually.
I'm in that same camp, man. I've never read it either.
Boo, both you guys.
I've never read this guy's writing before. Like, it's never.
Well, it strikes me it's very similar to Why the Last Man. Like, the way the characters talk, like they're all kind of they talk like just like you and I. They're not. There's no one that's quite posh or that. There's loads of swearing, loads of funny one-liners, imagery, and stuff like that. It's basically like he's taken like Urich from Why the Last Man and put him into Saga.
I think it makes stories a bit more relatable, I think, when there's much more conversational tone, which is the way that we've tried to approach our comics as well, where you can't really believe someone if they have a piece of dialogue and they're trying to sound as if it's some sort of speech from a novel or something like that, rather than just someone talking. I don't think it's quite as effective, but
it's not unbelievable.
Yeah, and that sounds pretty cool. It's all conversational, and
it's good though. Like I say, I'd recommend it. I've only read the first two, but so far I'd recommend it.
Fantastic.
Success. I recommend everyone. I'm going to read some shit next week and be like, boo to that.
Let's take us down a peg or two. Pick something that's like really highly regarded.
Star Wars. I watch all the Star Wars movies.
Let's try and get like these podcasts off the ground. Like, don't start. Like, there could be a big. There's a massive fan base for Star Wars.
No.
I mean, we've all seen the new trailer, and I can quite happily say that I'm going to move on from that before we lose any more listeners.
We should be like the minority of geeks, like the anti Star Wars crew.
I think we're putting ourselves across quite well. Like, for
there's like three of us.
Yeah, there's three of us. Oh yeah, we like all the geeky stuff. Do you like Star Wars? Nah.
No. What the fuck,
these guys don't like Star Wars. They're like 99% of the geeks hate us.
Like, we're like the resistance.
Aye.
The Star Wars resistance. I don't think any of us got a big nerd boner over the Star Wars trailer, but there you go. So Saga, very much recommend.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm going to go into something that I'm going to very much recommend. I've started watching Community on Netflix. It's a series that started in 2009. It's about about a group of students at a community college, and they start a study group together through one of their like Spanish grade classes, and it's just a coming together of random student characters, and one of them, like the guy who the show revolves around, called Jeff, he was a lawyer with a big practice, but the practice found out that he doesn't actually have a real degree, because he bought one in Columbia, and so he has to go to college to earn a legitimate degree, and as part of having to earn this degree, it's like a Spanish class that they have to take to get extra credits.
Oh, so they're all like older students?
It's a wide range.
Right.
So he's like a mid-range. There's like an 18-year-old like goody two-shoes and a retired millionaire who's just played by Chevy Chase. I've never really seen too much of Chevy Chase, to be honest. Like, he was National Lampoon. He's really funny in it. But basically, it's all just kind of, it's all stories revolving around these guys, and it relies heavily on like pop culture references, parodies of like films, TV, whatever else, and meta humor. It's like jokes about jokes, which is the whole kind of like, an Irishman, an Englishman, and a Scotsman walk in a bar, and the barman says, "What is this? Some kind of joke?" And like stuff like that, where it's all jokes about it. It's really, really funny, and it's almost like a human version of Family Guy without the references, and much easier to follow. So it's not really anything like Family Guy. It's
not animated.
It's not animated. I think it's more the kind of the eccentricities of a lot of characters that you come across, and the characters that the show revolves around. Like, tons and tons of praise for it that's come out of it, and it's been lauded for having one of the, it's like, it's self-aware almost, so it's hugely aware that it is just trying to be a funny show,
right,
while there's a story going along with it. But because they do so many references and they do so many parodies and stuff like that, that they just make whole episodes revolve around a particular parody.
I heard, because the guy at my work watches this, and he was saying that there's a whole like episode like based on Mario or something like that.
I haven't seen that one, because I'm only into the, like, I'm just into the halfway through the second season. But yeah, I can imagine there probably is. It seems like a certain that type of show that could definitely get away with it as well. There's one episode in the first series called Modern Warfare, where the premise of it is that there's a competition on campus for somebody when, like, it's a thing called pre-registration, where they get to decide all their own classes, and if you win it, you basically get to, like, do all your classes on a Monday, squish them into a Monday, then you get a 6-day weekend. So it's a paintball competition, and it just gets totally out of hand, like completely out of hand. So the main character Jeff kind of thinks it's a really stupid idea, and he goes to his car for a quick kip, wakes up an hour later, and it's like the opening scene from 28 Days Later. So he's like wandering around, and like the whole of the inner campus is just like destroyed by paintballs and stuff like that. And he sees a guy sitting slumped down at a door who's like, oh, paintball, paintball. And he's like, what's happening? And the guy's like, it all got out of hand. And they've been fighting for hours. And stuff like that. The place is fucking destroyed. And there's what references are in it. So it's like Battle Royale, Pitch Black, The Matrix, Die Hard, Terminator, 28 Days Later, The Warriors, Rambo, and Predator, all in one episode.
One episode.
And it's all sort of like small references towards them. And one of them is a fantastic one. It's the guy Ken Jeong, who's the Asian guy from the Hangover films.
Oh yeah.
I've not had a single iota of time for him since, like, I saw his part in the Hangover films, because I'm not a big fan, but he is hilarious.
Is he a comedian?
He's a doctor. I'm sure he's a doctor in real life. Or he was a doctor.
Potentially. He seems like he's fucking smart enough how funny he is. Like, he can obviously read a lot of situations and enhance them by just like his facial expressions and sounds and everything. And there's a bit, I think at the end of Predator where, oh, spoilers, the end of Predator, where Tommy's covering his ears. Where, like, at a Predator, like, hits a self-destruct button or something.
You ever
seen
Predator?
It's one of these films I've seen once, Predator goes to self-destruct, and he's got, like, paint grenades on the inside of his jacket. Nice. And he does, blah, blah. And there's another episode where Jeff's trying to, like, he's trying to pass a really easy class, but teacher is thinks that his class is Dead Poets Society, so he's like, we are going to learn by throwing away our textbooks and following life and seizing the day and stuff like that. And him as a singular character is amazing as well. So he Jeff can't get a break, and he seems like he's trying too hard, and he goes into the cafe in the campus and he doesn't know the teacher's behind him, and he orders himself like a small black coffee, and the teacher's just like, oh, Jeff. So boring, blah, 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 blah. You're never going to fail. You're never going to pass this class if you don't seize the day and try something different. And he walks to the front of the queue and picks up the menu and he's like, I will have. And then he just tears the menu in half and goes, a birthday cake. And then at like the end of the episode, something happens and Jeff seizes the day, and he sees him the day, and the professor goes up and he's like, you've done it! You've seized the day! And he runs away off into campus, and you're just kind of like, oh, that's him running off into the back. Oh no, he's starting to climb a tree. What's he doing? He's just kind of like, and it's just full of stuff like that. It's won tons of awards, currently is in its sixth season.
It's still going?
Renewed for a sixth season on Yahoo Screen or something like that. I think it's called Yahoo Screen, which I've never heard of, but it's pretty damn funny. There's some episodes that are way, way better than others, and some are just kind of a bit...
You get that on all shows, though, man.
Yeah, but I'd totally recommend it.
Good, man. It's really funny. You might have to invest some
Netflix.
Time.
Netflix, oh well.
Tommy, playing.
Yes. Not with your plums.
You don't have very long, so.
Right, I've been playing Monopoly quite a lot. The board game. On my own. it's taken a long time, but I'm winning.
But you're also losing.
So, the sad thing is, I think he's been serious. Like, no. He's genuinely been serious.
Have you actually? No, you haven't. You really have. You thought? No. Oh, it looks like it. I don't know. You haven't. You haven't been playing anything, have you?
Nah.
I can save you slightly. Monopoly, man. I got Monopoly Marvel edition.
All right, cool.
It's pretty cool. You buy, rather than buy hotels and that, you buy comic books.
Like, oh, really?
You buy streets, you buy like comic books, and you buy like comic book bags and stuff.
Amazing Fantasy number 15, the first appearance of Spider-Man would be like...
That's like your Mayfair and all that.
And then like number one...
Arm Fall Off Boy.
No,
it's not really. It's not really that, but it should be. But yeah, that just killed some time talking about Monopoly. Cool. Save your bacon from playing.
Shall we talk about something else for a minute or so? Or
we have.
How's your day been?
That's been pretty boring, to be honest.
Cool.
Had to rush home, get here. No fucking point, because Richard took about an hour and a half to get here.
It's buses, isn't it?
I backfired there.
Public transport and...
I'd have to be early for
me. Oh, actually, talking about public transport, my bus was diverted today. I'll tell you why. Because I came at work and my fucking bus stop was gone. Gone.
You want to know something else that's cheesing me off? It's £4 for a day saver now.
Yeah, it's fucking shambolic. Hey, leave it here. Oh, his voice broke. Could you hear that?
Because I can't go that high because I'm such a man.
That's exactly what it is.
Anyway, news. We've got lots of different types of news this week. Where are we going to start? Shall we start with cast picture out for Task Force X?
Yes.
Suicide Squad.
The Suicide Squad. And there is a shed load of characters in it so far. The ones that we know of, anyway.
Which points to certain death for a few of them, let's face it.
Definitely.
So who have you got? Who have you got the candidates for being killed in that?
Slipknot, straight away.
So Slipknot. Yeah,
he doesn't even look like they've put any effort into his.
He's just a guy with a bit of rope.
Have you seen him?
He's a mercenary type looking guy. That's all you can say from him.
On his costume, there's literally just a piece of rope that's in a knot.
He's got a bit of rope up his sleeve as well, never know.
And he's got like cornrows. Like, he's obviously tied up himself because he's...
He likes doing knots and tying stuff.
Exactly. Fucking Boy Scout. Yeah. So he'll probably...
He'll die. Or he'll be the only one left.
Yeah. Aye. Well, there's Captain Boomerang should die just because of his name. I think that's worse than Captain Cold.
Is Captain Boomerang the big tall one in the picture?
He's got the long jacket on.
Yeah.
I don't think.
I think they'll make him a fucking badass cat.
I don't think he'll die, man. They brought him into. I know it's a different version, but they brought him into Arrow, and he was quite like, he was on one for like two episodes or whatever. But
was he cool though?
If you get away from the fact that he throws boomerangs, he's called Captain Boomerang, and nah, he's not that cool, then he's alright. But I don't know. I think you could be right though, because I think the fact that you've got Will Smith will not die. Deadshot will not die.
Mm-hmm.
I think they might go down the 52 route though, of having Deadshot and Harley Quinn helping out a wee bit of the whole how's your father?
How's your father? I think you could be right. I obviously Harley Quinn, Margot Robbie, she is very, very pretty.
Oh, she is.
She's a very handsome woman.
She is a very handsome woman. And we'll move on before we all.
But anyway, she actually looks quite cool as Harley Quinn.
She does actually, yeah.
She looks more comic than what I thought. Excuse me, Didi.
That's good for the podcast. Excuse you,
it's
me.
I snorted as well. My nose.
Anyway,
she actually looks quite cool, which is what I was trying to say.
Yeah, right, okay.
Killer Croc.
Killer Croc, he looks pretty cool, actually. Yeah, he does.
I like how they've got him in civvies, like he's been kind of like street clothes, like a hoodie.
Yeah, he's got a hoodie on,
every other time he's always like bare chested, so you can see all the kind of.
Yeah.
Crocodile type
stuff.
Yeah. He always looks like a man beast, but he's like a beast, but he's like.
But have you noticed that he's got like boxing like wraps in his hands?
I wonder if that's maybe sort of like a. I don't know. Do you think that's a sort of subtle thing for his character that he maybe, I don't know, whatever happened to him started on his hands and then just got everywhere else and he just decided it looked cool? Or
unless it's just good for punching. Unless he's just started punching folk.
Aye.
He's half crocodile though, man. He can do what the fuck he wants, really.
That's exactly. There's Enchantress.
Yep.
Who's so-so.
She looks like the Grudge.
She does look a bit Ringu.
Aye. She looks like she's going to come at your belly and like eat you.
She does look a bit like
that. I personally like El Diablo. Don't know why. He just looks pretty cool.
It's a tattoo of his skull.
And he's got like a sort of like a really old like baseball like top on. But yeah, like a jumper thing.
That's really weird.
Yeah. I like him. I liked him in the 52 stuff, so I'm hoping that he. But apparently as well, apparently there's rumours, I don't know, they're going to add even more characters, that Deathstroke might make an appearance.
Oh, aye.
But
this is getting out of hand, man.
Well, then the
characters.
But then there's the other two that are left, I think, from that picture, Katana and Rick Flag.
Rick Flagg's missing from that picture, isn't he?
No, he's
in the middle. It's Rick Flagg, Harley Quinn, and then
he's been recast.
I thought just when you said it was Steve Trevor and when you sent over, I was like, oh,
no, he apparently it's Clint Eastwood's son. What's his name? Someone Eastwood. Funny enough,
Clint Eastwood Jr.
We'll go with that. He's apparently meant to be playing. Oh, he's like a guy in just a normal gear, so I reckon it might be Steve Trevor.
Yeah, probably.
He has to be in it.
He's a government liaison that kind of looks after the team. So he'll be partially a good guy. Katana's partially a good guy. I don't know what she's doing in the squad, to be honest. In the comics, she's...
But Rick Flagg's relatively a good guy.
You would imagine that Rick Flagg, Harley Quinn and Deadshot are going to be the central characters, the ones that are totally indispensable.
Yeah. Fuck that, man. I want King Shark.
Right. You got Killer Croc.
Just hit the mic.
Oh, I see, that's what it is.
That's what it is.
I think that's it. They would have to have a picture of Amanda Waller at some point, I would imagine.
Yeah. That's true. And obviously, there's now rumours that Batman's making an appearance.
That's it. Spotted in Canada.
Yep.
So he's potentially going to be in it. And
who Lex Luthor apparently is coming in it as well for a bit. The Joker's going to be in it.
Who's perhaps the most controversial character picture of all.
Apparently he's not got tattoos. Did you read that?
Yeah.
No. The tattoos that what they say now that people are like, I don't like the tattoos.
Apparently this guy's gonna have loads of scars over him.
This like sounds Zaz. Like a total like backtrack.
It does a little bit.
It sounds like a complete backtrack. There's a lot of backlash because nobody likes the tattoos or there's a massive outcry for it, and then there's like outcry against it, I should say, and then they're like, but wait, they're not tattoos.
Yeah, exactly. It kind of sounds like there was two guys with that idea. One of them was like, he'll look cool. And the other was like, no, he won't. Yeah, he will. No, he won't. Right. Tweet it then. See what happens. And everybody just gone, they look shite. Those tattoos. The damage, of course, it's not
that. That is fucking bullshit, man. That's the only thing I was just like, that is fucking bullshit.
Yeah. I like the haha, like written all down.
I didn't mind the haha. But he's not self.
He's referencing himself.
Exactly. He's not like that. He's crazy, but he's not like, oh, look at me, I'm crazy. He's just fucking batshit crazy.
Yeah, and you would imagine that he's going to have some sort of costume on anyway. I mean, it's the Joker. Surely he has to have some sort of costume on top. I mean, unless he's just, you know, held captive somewhere and all he's got is a pair of trousers and that's it. And he's scars all over himself.
I don't think it's going to be that much. Like, I think you're right. I'm just putting him in it just to sort of. I think he might be in the new Batman movie, but I think they might just, this would be a way of introducing them, if you like.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I've got a lot of faith in the Jared Leto. I've got a lot of faith in him. I think he's good. He plays really good characters.
Yeah, he's good. He is one of the underrated ones that's starting to come through and play some really good characters. Like, he had a really good role in, was it Dallas Buyers
Club? He's the transvestite guy.
Fantastic role in that. He's one of these ones, like, I think he's like another one from Dallas Buyers Club, Matthew McConaughey, who everybody gives him a lot of shit, but he is actually really good.
No, he's a good actor.
So, just on the back of that,
I've got a bit of news that just came through today, actually.
Oh, is that right?
When you mentioned Tom Hardy, apparently Tom Hardy's come out and said he wants to play the Punisher.
Oh, my God.
TV show.
I would take that.
I also read that Charlie Cox has said that in season 2 of Daredevil, he wants Frank Castle to be in it.
That'd be some sort of reference to him.
Yeah, he could have him pop up for a couple of episodes and go away again.
But the thing is, if he pops up, that means they'll have to use that Frank Castle going forward. Do you know what I mean?
But so can you fit into the whole mould of it's all one universe and the Daredevil exists at the same time as the Avengers and stuff.
So you can't just have like, oh, that's Frank Castle, and then when actual Punisher comes out of a TV show, it's a different character, a different actor.
I don't think it should go as high profile a casting as that, really, for the TV show, because it sucks up too much of the time, and then you can't put any time to the side to do the TV show, and then have to recast, and then it's just going to.
That's it, and it's not going to be as much of a surprise when he turns up to kill the Marvel Universe in a few years. So.
You know what I watched?
And his main mask.
I watched, like, The Purge, Anarchy, The Purge 2. Have you seen it?
No, I've seen
The Purge.
The Purge was mesh. Purge 2 was slightly better.
that's a glowing review.
But there's a character, like, Frank Grillo is in it. And the only other film I've seen him in, I think, was Warrior. He's the trainer with the black hair. He trains the underdog brother.
He's in The Winter Soldier as well.
Oh, yeah, sure he is. Yeah, Crossbones. Yeah, yeah. He's going to be, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, that means you couldn't play him then. But he was, he was like a vengeance-driven, vigilante type character, and he was brilliant.
And then I read something
on the net, but it was like, well, he's rumoured to be the Punisher or something like that. I was like, I think he'd be a really good Punisher, actually.
He's got the look, certainly.
He does, he definitely does. He's a really good actor. But then again, he's probably too high profile for TV show work.
Potentially. What else we got? What else is on our newscast?
Silent Hills.
Nice. Pretty Silent unfortunate Hills. News about that. It's Silent Hills. Guillermo del Toro directed Silent Hills has been cancelled, unfortunately.
It's a sore day, man. It's really sore. Like,
big
I
mean,
ever since I played that the PT the teaser,
yeah,
game. Oh, I've been salivating for it.
Yeah, it looked great.
It was fucking terrifying,
to be honest.
It was absolutely terrifying.
I hate it.
It was one of the most. I mean, I wouldn't call it the scariest game because it's not a full game. But for what it was definitely. I think it's probably the scariest experience I've had on a console.
Yeah.
And it's a shame as well that I can't remember the fella's name, Daryl Dixon from Norman Reedus. Sorry. Norman Reedus's his likeness isn't going to be used in a game like that, which is kind of a shame because he looked like he would have suited playing a character in Silent Hills.
When I seen him in Silent Hill and he's walking along, I was just like, it's just Daryl Dixon. He's going to have a crossbow and just kill zombies.
He surely had a crossbow in it.
Standard.
Does he just have one at all times now?
I think so.
I think he turned up for the green screening or the mapping or however they do it, and he had the crossbow and they're like, okay.
we'll go with that.
He's just literally got out of his car from a Walking Dead shoot, and he was like, "Oh, I didn't have time to get changed, sorry, lads."
But to be honest, I've only played Silent Hill 1 and 2, possibly.
They're the best ones,
right? Well, yeah, but I've never played them since, and I wasn't that bothered about this one coming out. But still, it's a shame when like a big massive franchise kind of loses its way. Because that's essentially what's happened, isn't it?
It's been losing its way for years.
Like Resi.
I think Resi
5 was shocking.
I completed it, and it wasn't that bad. Once you got into the controls, it wasn't that bad. It's still probably the weakest of the new
generation. I got into the controls, and it was... I still hated it. I was playing co-op. That's the only reason I started stuck with it, and man, Nicola, actually, Resi 4, the movie, came on the other night, and Nicola was like, sit and watch it. Have you ever seen it?
Which one?
I gave up after
Resi 4, Resident Evil... one of them.
I've seen the second one as well.
They're shocking.
Do you know the best thing about the first one, I think, was they did a remix of My Plague by Slipknot.
Yeah,
and that was the best thing about the film.
That's what I was thinking. All right. I was like, the best thing about Resi 1 was the fact that My Plague was the theme tune.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh, what's that? And I was like, well,
educate yourself, woman.
Colin Salmon was in it as well.
Who was it? Sorry?
Colin Salmon. He's an arrow for a bit. That's it. That's that film summed up.
Cool. There you go.
It's actually, Resi 1's not actually that bad. The film. It's not bad. When you watch the rest of them, it's not bad, right?
I was reading about this last night as well. The news that was cancelled, it's not, I don't think, been like another Silent Hill game hasn't been cancelled altogether. It's just Silent Hills.
So this version of Silent Hills that had Guillermo del Toro attached and Hideo Kojima, the guy behind all the Metal Gear Solid games, which are...
A gaming god, really.
Yeah, he absolutely is innovative. He's mega intelligent. Immensely deep games. Oh my god, this is a match made in heaven.
Well, you apply that to horror as well. You just got Hideo Kojima, as intelligent and, as you say, deep as he is, and someone that can bring things that you would imagine to life, like Guillermo del Toro, just when he did Hellboy 2. Like, I can't remember a fucking thing about that film, but it was beautiful.
It looked amazing.
There's going to be another one which still fills you with a little bit of hope for it being as good, but...
It's a glimmer of hope. I must admit, I was totally sold on this idea of del Toro and Kojima, but yeah, okay, if they make another one, it's possible it might be alright, but I don't know, man.
How long will that take, though?
They've got to start from scratch, who knows?
Yeah, exactly.
they may have already started from scratch, and they may already be a bit of the way through the development and just decided, now we're going to touch that one again, we'll follow on with this one, and we won't announce it until that's sunk in for people.
Or maybe it's a massive surprise.
Somebody said, I've read somewhere that someone was like, this is a publicity stunt, basically.
It'd be fucking cool if it just launched one day on like PSN, Silent Hills.
And they're like, who made this? We didn't make it. Where did it come from? Maybe it came from Silent Hill World.
And that's what the game is. You have to discover where Silent Hills comes from, the game. Totally immersive, yeah.
That'd be quite cool.
Yeah,
but that's not going to happen.
But it's not happening, no. They've not released, what that's funny is they've not released like a proper reason for the cancellation. You don't know the true reason for it, but nobody's released anything. Isn't that kind of weird? Like, you think they'd just release something. Some kind of
statement to close it and say it's done.
Yeah, or something just to kind of just appease people for now, and then the real reason could come out later on. Like if there's been a big bust up between Del Toro or Kojima or Konami and Kojima or whatever.
Has anyone said anything? Have any of those guys come out and said, by the way, it wasn't my fault?
Like, nah, not really. Del Toro said it's dead and that's about it, really.
I think that's got to be a behind the scenes thing because everybody that was involved with it, I don't know everybody obviously, but Del Toro and Kojima have both come out and said they're pretty gutted with it falling apart or being cancelled. Maybe not falling apart, that's putting words in other people's mouths, but it's cancelled, certainly. It's a shame because obviously it did have so much potential.
It did.
But you know, these things happen.
Every cloud.
That's life.
I'll pick myself up, man.
You will.
I'll tell you what you'll pick yourself up with.
Our next piece of news.
Arkham Knight.
Oh.
Again, we've thought about Arkham Knight so many times, but Arkham Knight again.
We're pretty excited. Let's face it.
Well, we are pretty excited, but this recent news about the season pass, man, has actually kind of got me thinking. I was going to buy the collector's edition, right? Yeah. That's a given. I was going to do that.
What is involved in it?
Well,
ask.
The
collector's edition. What is it?
Let me educate you, Tommy.
Okay.
There's a statue, right? So I was going to buy it for that. Pure and simply, there is the Arkham Knight trade volume comic that they brought out.
The prequel comic.
Yep. It's a steelbook edition. There's an art book and there's a game. That's essentially it. No season pass though, which I thought was quite weird. No idea. There's three skins from the new 52.
So what's the new? What's the price tag on that?
That's
85. It's 89.
It went up to 89.99.
An additional 40 quid for the
statue, right?
And the rest of the stuff that's not quite as good as the statue.
Don't judge me though. I was thinking about buying it.
I'm probably going to get it too.
However, the season pass has been announced, and that's an extra 32 quid,
which includes.
Well, Batgirl's been confirmed, and she's getting her own little sort of spin-off thing. Although, folks were saying it's going to be for the next 6 months, they're going to continue releasing stuff for the game, right?
Fucking release all at once.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's day one DLC. And the thing as well, it's going to be you can play as Batgirl, and that's going to be before Arkham Knight and that. And I was like, right, cool, that's awesome. But I thought back to Arkham City, and I was like, that's what happened with Catwoman.
Yeah.
And those bits were half an hour, if that. And it didn't really add much.
It was a nice change of pace.
To play those
parts. And it was a bit refreshing, kept the game kind of popping. You got to do different moves and different stuff as Catwoman. It was basically essentially the same controls, but it had different moves and stuff.
Yeah,
that's it.
It was alright, it wasn't.
So, yeah.
The thing is with Batgirl as well, they're going to have her own story, which is apparently a prequel to even the game, which is going to take part in a completely separate location from the rest of the game. Is what I've read, it's quite cool in itself though. I mean, you get to see even more of Gotham.
Yeah, but just give us a fucking with the price.
Yeah, well,
I should tell her on and give us it. Right?
So it's on the disc, but you'll just.
I don't know.
When you buy the season pass, you'll get the codes or whatever to release.
But they release things there's other release, I think there's five or six skins for the Batmobile. I'm not fussy for that, to be honest. I'm not going to drive it, I'm not going to be New 52 Batman and drive a boot in the Adam West Batmobile. It's not going to happen.
I'm not interested in those in the first playthrough. I just want to do it as it's presented, as it comes.
Even the challenge maps. I'm not interested in the challenge maps. You like them?
I love the fine ones. I don't really like the stealth ones so much, but I'll do them for the achievement.
I'm a big fan of the stealth ones, to be honest. I like all the stealthy stuff, but there's obviously going to be a lot to go with the game. It's just seeing what they bring out when they bring out.
Yeah.
There's apparently you're going to be able to do the interchangeable switches between.
I've read that. Aye. Have you seen some of the moves? You can have Batman doing a move and then Nightwing finishing off.
Yes, that's right.
And I mean that's cool. And the thing that annoys me most about the season pass, because it's £32, is got as Batman, I'm going to buy it. And that's going to cost me £120 just for Arkham Knight through choice, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's a shitload of money, man.
It is a lot of money. So, is it just Batgirl and some skins and stuff for the Batgirl?
It's Batgirl, some Batgirl campaign, some challenge maps, some skins. They said that you can play as other Batman characters, so I don't know if they're going to have maybe Nightwing in it.
Nightwing, Robin, and
Catwoman.
Catwoman, that's right.
But because it's a season pass, you probably won't get it all right away. You'll probably just get
it'll come out in bits
and
bobs.
I'll probably get it as well.
Yeah. Unequivocally, we're all going to spend that much money on it. So we moan, we gripe, whatever. That's fine. I'm going to get it. We got a last piece of news that we want to go on to, or
I don't have anything else. I don't think. Do you guys,
Tommy?
No, I don't actually.
Oh, good.
I'm going to quickly chime in with a Red Dwarf's coming back for two new series, which isn't filling me with a lot of confidence because the Red Dwarf was it 10? The last one that came out was a bit shite.
It was a bit shite, yeah.
Bit not watchable.
Begs the question, why are they bringing out two more series?
Was it coming to Netflix or what was it?
I think it'd be BBC, maybe.
No, it's Dave.
Dave? Sorry, it's Dave.
Which tells me even less confidence.
Exactly. So,
because what they'll do is they'll release episode one and repeat it a few times. Then episode two and then repeat it a few times.
I hope it doesn't have the same sort of downward spiral that something like a Harry Hill and Paul Whitehouse has, where it was funny in the mid-90s and they keep trying to go with the same humour and they keep trying to go with the kind of oh yeah, we're still down with the kids sort of thing, and it's just not funny anymore.
Yeah.
I really hope it doesn't go like that, but yeah, wait and see.
Oh well, it could be good. Matt could surprise.
Exactly.
Fingers crossed for that one.
Yeah.
Cool.
Right, over there.
Ding it out.
Alright, we've got our feature for this week, and it's something that's just come out literally just come out in the cinemas 2 weeks ago.
We were there at the 2 weeks later premiere.
That's it. We were.
Especially invited.
It's almost out on DVD now.
It is. Well, potentially if you're listening to this when I expect everyone to listen to it in like 2 years' time, then maybe it will be. The Avengers, Age of Ultron. We were all... I don't know, I wouldn't even say... How excited were you guys about it? To be honest, I actually kind of forgot.
You forgot it came out?
Yeah, I did. I had high hopes for it. I was excited for it, but because I'd stopped watching the trailers, where trailers give away far too fucking much, I just forgot when it was coming out.
The trailer was 2.5 minutes long. It was fucking crazy. It was giving so much away. However, this is almost the same as Daredevil. I was kind of like, oh, it's coming out. That's cool. It's been coming out for years and years and years. And I kind of forgot about it. Put it in the back burner until like 2 days before it came out. I was like, yes! And I fucking loved it.
It was phenomenal. And Tommy hated it.
Tommy absolutely hated it. He texted me this morning and said, hey, fucking the worst film I've ever seen.
I didn't hate it. I did. I really, 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 really enjoyed it. But I don't know, man. I just walked away disappointed. At the end.
Wow, really?
I had to smile on my face, but I was like in the back of my head, I was like, something wasn't right with that phone.
Alright, well let's go through it then.
Why? No, fuck them.
Why?
Let's
start at the top. So, it's the Avengers as they are going into Sokovia, which that's what you find out it is later in the film. I got really excited at the start of it and thought, oh man, they're going to fucking Doctor Doom's castle. And I was kind of like, nah, that's stupid. Is it? I don't know. He might be in there.
I
was kind of, because it kind of looked like that. Yeah. I think they said Sokovia or something like that. And I was like, is that where Doctor Doom's from?
It's like a European sounding made up place like that that has a castle.
Aye.
Yeah. So I was kind of
like, I didn't even give that a thought.
Yeah, and I was kind of like, no fucking way. And then obviously it turned out to be Baron von Strucker, which basically puts an end to Hydra. That scene though at the start just gets you properly set up for the film for the first half of it. All the action is just smooshed into that. Another one of these moving, fighting action sequences, and the bit where they all line up as well.
Aye, that was quality. That was cool. There's a couple. There's like to on like later on in the film as well, man. There's one bit when I was hoping for it the whole way through. You know the original Avengers movie where they're on a circle and the camera goes round them all.
Yeah, pans right around in New York when they do it again
around inside the church, and it's just man,
that was cool.
That bit was amazing. Yeah. You hate it, Tommy.
Thoughts on that? I'm going to be the one who's going to nitpick and niggle at it.
I think we're all going to have.
That's my gig. That's what I do.
I'm sorry.
You're going to have to take a back seat. Fuck it. I think we've probably all got one or two things. I know I've got one or two things as well. I maybe don't have as much as you because I walked away thinking it was fucking awesome. And I watched the first Avengers the other night, and having had this conversation before outside of this podcast, because we actually do talk in real life.
This is real life.
Yeah, I know. Is it better? Is it worse? Where does it rank in comparison to the first Avengers? And having watched the first Avengers, I've thought they are different films. I think the Age of Ultron is better, marginally. They are different films.
I'd agree.
I don't agree with that.
Really?
In the slightest. I don't think it's anywhere near it. I don't think the second one's anywhere near the original, I should say.
Oh, fair enough. For me, because the Avengers, that was a setup film. And it was good, don't get me wrong. I really enjoyed it. And I see it like 3 or 4 times at the cinema. I thought it was so good. But the thing that did it for me is this Age of Ultron seemed like it seemed much more comic booky almost, whereas the first film seemed very much just like
setting the scene, I suppose.
And there's nothing wrong with that, because that whole section in New York at the end of it, wow. But
it was because this one basically just had its balls out for scene one.
It went
straight in, here we go. And you can't know who everyone is, and you basically go in and say, right, let's just watch Avengers tear shit up.
It did, which is ace.
Yeah,
it was ace. And they didn't say, like, right, we need to say that this person's that person and they do this, and this person's that person and they've got these powers and this is their deal. They just say, right, everybody's seen those films, they all loved them, they're all here to see Avengers. And they just went with it.
Aye.
And that was good,
that
it?
Was good.
Interestingly enough, though, they didn't do that with the twins. They just kind of...
They weren't named.
The they just kind of just popped them there in the film and said, on you go. Yeah. And I had to read up on it after, and it was apparently something to do with Loki's experiments with the scepter with the Infinity Stone in it, that is that they just got powers on the back of that. I didn't really explain
this is,
how
this is one of the problems.
I think it was the first that this is something I read online as well, and I think I'll get you elaborate on this part. There was an awful lot smooshed into that first half of the film.
And it's an awful not lot. So much the second half, but the first and second acts, because the third act is basically just a fight, and they introduce Vision, who, you know, you could have just had somebody breaking the scepter by accident in the mind gem, just kind of floating up in the air and go, oh my god, that's not what we thought it was. You know, I didn't think it kind of got shoehorned in. I don't think it's anybody's fault. It's not bad writing. It was good writing. You know, it did matter. It was there, and they did the best that they could with them, and they did have that excellent bit with the hammer.
Yeah, that was ace. Yeah,
we all loved that.
I like the fact that they've managed to incorporate Jarvis into it, so you almost know who the Vision is. Because I felt that as well. They have shoehorned him in. He just randomly appears like I thought 3/4 of the way through the movie and then saves the day, right? But it's because they've made him Jarvis's voice, they've made it Paul Bettany.
But that's what it was missing. It was missing somebody saying, if somebody had said, oh my god, I can't believe Jarvis is actually in a robot body and he's walking around with us right now, he's like kind of like one of the Avengers now, that's what it would have taken, and then the audience would have went, oh fuck, I've made the connection in my head. But you didn't get that.
They said why he sound like Jarvis.
But that's not like, this is my problem. One of my main problems with this film is it's fucking 100 miles an hour.
Absolutely.
From the start to the finish. I walked out, it was with 3 other people, 2 of them were kids. But the adult turned around to me and said, the twins, what were their names?
That's to do with the rights, though, isn't it? They can't legally name them because they don't have the rights to them, because the rights are still owned by 20th Century Fox, the X-Men films. Yeah.
Oh, that's why
Quicksilver and that. Yeah, apparently they're owned. Because they can't make any reference to them being mutants either. Like, they're not.
No, because they call them enhanced.
Enhanced. Apparently Marvel are not allowed to have any mutants in their movies because that's X-Men and they don't own them. So yeah, they had to basically...
It's crazy for Marvel Studios not to own X-Men.
And they put them into it, and basically that's why they never named them either. And like, that's why they changed like, their backstory and all that
stuff. Right, but they didn't call them the superhero names, but still named them. Kind of. It was just like, it's just like you mentioned, like you don't know exactly the deal. They just kind of... Somebody makes a remark about how Loki was experimenting with the scepter and he used the scepter on them.
Do you know
what
I mean? He was meant to be in it. He got cut.
I'm quite glad he did, to be honest with you. I don't think it needed him. I really don't think I need it. Maybe needed a reference to him, but I don't think it actually needed Loki in the film, because you're trying to put over Ultron as being this huge, big, insanely powerful bad guy. And by the way, he looked phenomenal. I thought he looked absolutely insanely great, especially when he went through his evolutions and ripped like previous incarnation apart and everything like that. I thought he looked fantastic.
He was good. But I think he was only good because Marvel had some seriously dull bad guys. Thor 2 and the Guardians of the Galaxy, the two bad guys, and that was it, Ronan and some fucking other guy who looked like no feeling.
Yeah, the Dark Elf.
I thought Ronan Accuser looked amazing.
He looked amazing, but he was so fucking boring. He was just a generic
but the bad guy. The thing that separated a guy like generic Ronan for me is that Ultron seemed to have more character. He seemed to have more kind of when the Hulk goes up to the plane that he's flying, he's like, oh, for God's sake, and chucks away. He seemed to have a lot more character than that sort of thing. That's what made me buy into Ultron as a bad guy more than I would. But I love the look of Ronan the Accuser, don't get me wrong.
The bit that got me.
Amazing. Never talk bad about Whiplash. That's crap.
I was going to say Iron Man 2.
Just calm down. Awful. Yeah.
The bit Ultron actually becomes like is born, if you like. Yeah. I agree with you on that. That was just like done so fast.
It was
just like, oh, I'm a bad guy now, and I'm going world peace and blah blah. And you're like, what the fuck is going on? And he basically like kills Jarvis or whatever. And then that's him. That's him now, a bad guy. And I was like,
to quote a word that Tommy, an expression that Tommy's used before, there wasn't enough exposition for that. There wasn't a kind of like, where the hell did you come from? There was the bit where Jarvis and what was the other thing? The blue whatever it was.
It was Ultron. It was Ultron. I mean, it was what they were working on. It was a program, but then it was broken because they used the thing, and it was like all fucked up. But then it was like.
But then Jarvis or whatever.
I love the look of Ultron. It was definitely the most menacing looking villain which I've seen in a Marvel film yet, I think, unless I'm forgetting somebody.
Yeah, I think so.
Winter Soldier was pretty menacing.
Winter Soldier.
That's because he never said
much.
Well,
I didn't like Winter Soldier. I thought but it was a boring movie.
He looked the coolest, but I didn't. And his personality, they made him kind of human because of his personality, but then his personality just seemed to be all over the place to me. You know, one minute he's humorous, the next minute he's menacing, then he's sympathetic because he's just like a broken program and he thinks he can fix the world by killing everybody. So it just seems like
it's almost like it's kind of like a bog standard villain thing to do.
Yeah,
like just to sort of be like, I'm bad, let's destroy the world. And it wasn't much more.
It was the pace. It was just the speed that everyone was just like, bang, 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 bang. Right, this happens and that happens, and he's a bad guy. Then he goes away. Then they kill him, and then they have a party. Or you know, it was just like bang, 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 bang. Even when it slowed down, and you had the Bruce Banner and Black Widow bits, and you had the Hawkeye bits. Which were meant to bring a bit.
The Hawkeye bits.
Everybody gets a breather, everybody gets to kind of do a bit of reflection. Oh man, that did fuck them up, and Scarlet Witch messed with the heads and stuff like
aye.
That. It was all short lived, but then it was just like, it was just the pacing.
Do you know what? On the back of that, man, that's Hawkeye bits. The Hawkeye bits I felt were brilliant because, even when you watch the first Avengers movie and halfway through this movie, Hawkeye basically asks questions that you're asking. For example, like, the fuck does Hawkeye bring to this team? Like, why is he there? And he's like, I'm just a guy with a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, finally, someone's been like, what is he then? He's just a random guy with a bow and arrow. And I like that fact that he asks that, and they play on his character, even when his wife's like, do they actually need you? Like,
yeah.
Ken.
There's even more play on his character as well when they're on the big, massive float in Sokovia Island, which there's a shot, I think it's of Iron Man when he's sort of...
He's flying across
He's sitting far back from it, and you can see it being lifted out in the earth, and my word, it looked phenomenal. But when Hawkeye's speaking to Maximo Pietrov, a.k.a. Quicksilver, and Quicksilver runs away, and he's got an arrow out, and he's like, nobody would know if I did it. He just sort of like he just has a wee jog on after it, and
the humorous bits were really funny. Like.
They were, and that was a thing that I thought, to touch on the more positive notes, it made it a great film. There's like the bit when they're beating up. Just remember the bit. There's a bit when they're fighting Strucker's army and stuff like that, and he's giving this huge big sort of like, we will never surrender, blah 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 blah. And he speaks to his agent, he's like, I'm going to surrender, blah blah blah. I think it's Cap that beats him up and hits him against a wall or something like that, and he does the sort of whimper thing where he's just lying on the floor like.
It's the bit as well where it's Iron Man comes through and he's like, guys, we need to talk about this. And then they all shoot him, and Iron Man just gets like just demolish them all. He's like, "Good chat." And then one of the guys goes, "No, it wasn't."
It's the best one where he's like walked up the stairs and he's like, "What?" He's trying to find something and he sees a bit in the wall. He's like, "Please be a secret door. Please be a secret door." Yeah. Pushes things. Yeah. He just falls down the stairs.
There was one bit that kind of to sort of go off on a tangent. I didn't like the Transformers movies because the fighting was just colours and was just too. Massively action packed, right? And the bit with the Hulkbuster and the Hulk fighting, there were scenes in that where I was like, I can't even tell what's going on.
I thought that was just me that I was a bit too close to the screen, but yeah.
No, man, I was like, I don't even know what's going on. It's a bit when like they're going up the building, like.
Yeah, no.
Hulk,
okay,
Hulk can essentially fly. Eh? He can jump for fucking miles. Yeah.
He's got this because of his fucking ripped quads, isn't it?
Aye. Also, how does his jeans get bigger and then get smaller with them?
His Banner has created. Unstable molecules. That's the one. Yeah.
I thought it was just a plot hole. But, I liked it. I really, really liked the movie. Like, really liked it. I was actually surprised by it because I thought it was going to be the whole kind of sequel syndrome, if you like.
I had the exact same thing. And just to jump back really quickly to the Hulkbuster fight, I can't decide whether it was totally unbelievably amazing or almost a wee bit in danger of jumping the shark when they destroy the huge big skyscraper building. Like, he puts him through the top of it.
He's
putting him down. Again, it looked amazing, but you're kind of like, what? And it's sort of like, when I was watching it, I was kind of like, Do you guys know how much damage you're doing to the city just yeah. by destroying that? I was like,
holy shit, man, it's 9/11.
Yeah, you're getting like fucking hell. That could be like their fucking 9/11. There could be people.
Do you know what? Came down level by level as well, and there was all the dust. Do you know what? I seen what they used for a reference on that shit. No, seriously.
I seen the film twice, and both bits in that scene. There was one bit that just sort of stood out for me, and it was like, see, if you watch it coming down, like the whole building's coming down, right? The traffic's still going, like just normal past it. No one's like going, holy fuck, there's a building coming down. Everyone just kind of like, just driving to work again. I'm like, all right, okay, cool.
Yeah, I like how Iron Man's like, like doing the head cam thing, and he's like, oh, it's clear. Or Jarvis is like, it's clear, there's no civilians, because nobody will be affected by a massive fucking building coming down. Right,
it's like you say, the guys in the cars are just, oh, fucking hell, the Avengers here, you're going to be late for work, they're fucking take down a building. Christ almighty, man. But I think, besides for the fact that it was, you know, it was ludicrously immense,
still love the Veronica thing.
There was a lot of cool little references, I thought, as well. One of them I got quite excited about was when they said that they needed to go and visit an arms dealer in Wakanda.
Yeah.
I kind of thought the Black Panther was going to make a wee cameo or something like that. But Ulysses Claw played Andy Serkis. I thought he was pretty cool too.
Yeah, he was alright, man.
Candy. Did you want the candy?
I read a little bit about it. I didn't have a fucking clue who the guy was, and I read about him afterwards, and the guy Ulysses Claw, they may well have done a setup for that for the Black Panther film by chopping up by
taking his arm off. Yes, absolutely have.
I thought it was
definitely have.
Quite a cool bit of attention to detail in that respect.
I like the fact that they've done that, because they've just like, it didn't feel forced like the way he was in it either. I like the fact that he's quite humorous. Even we've seen him for a little bit, but he seemed quite humorous.
He looked badass as well. For Andy Serkis, who played Gollum.
He's quite ripped. He's a big guy.
There was the bit as well, where you're exploring Black Widow's upbringing. You get a wee bit of mention of the Red Room.
Enjoyed other stuff with Black Widow in it. Yeah, yeah.
I wonder why.
Even when
hello.
I don't want to that, actually. But the Red Room was pretty cool. Black Widow's lullaby for the Hulk.
It was alright.
I quite liked it, to be honest with you. I thought it was quite cool. It shows a little bit more of the relationship, and I think this must be just fucking female intuition. But see, when I went to see the film with my girlfriend, and when we came out of the cinema, one of the first things that she said, she was kind of like, I totally picked up on the Hulk and Black Widow going, like, potentially getting together in the first film, in the first Avengers. I was like, fuck off. What even? I didn't see anything, but she was like, there must have been some sort of hints at them getting together, and apparently that's obviously the way they're going to go with Hulk setting off into the sunset.
I was hoping so much for a Planet Hulk spin-off by that, because he basically like turned to the screen and went, where on earth could I go that I wouldn't kill everyone? And I was like, space.
And then he just goes to space up at the stars.
Aye. Aye, I was hoping for that.
There's a wee bit in his notepad, it's just like Planet Hulk.
Aye. Although there was a little bit of making him, and then he gets behind the sort of like the pilot, he's kinda like behind the fucking pilot seat of the fucking spaceship thing, right? And he's flying about. And it's always meant to be a sort of like a sad moment when he turns her screen off on that, and then it zoomed out and you see him, and I was like, he looks fucking ridiculous sitting behind that.
Just sort of crouched up behind it, looking like
he's squeezed himself into like
also, I don't quite get how he is. The Hulk still kind of confuses me, because I still can't understand how sometimes he's a fucking maniac killing everything, and then other times he's like normal. Like, he was flying the plane, he knew what he was doing, he was all rational, he knew he was going to disappear. But other times he just goes about just fucking mincing things.
I wonder if it's one of the things where you have to be completely into his character, like as much as you would be with someone like Batman, where you really understand him, you've read so much about him, where you understand what he would do in situations.
It doesn't come across well on a film, though.
I know what you mean, but then Batman might come across as a bit of a moody cunt in a lot of...
Oh, of course he will.
Oh, C-bomb.
Oh,
sorry. might come across as a good...
You're proud of yourself.
I am, actually.
Your mother wouldn't be.
Well, maybe she would.
Let's ask her.
I'm proud of you, son. You're not going to ask a question. Fine, bye. We're sort of wrapping this bit up now. There was other little bits and pieces, like the retirals where Tony Stark was in a distance, apparently going to buy like a house like Hawkeye's got, and Cap's getting together with the new Avengers, War Machine, Falcon, the Vision, and Scarlet Witch, which I'm quite looking forward to. We've all got our own theories and how that'll unravel.
And Thanos ends it all.
Oh, Thanos with it.
Ties it up.
Yeah.
Do you not like that, Tommy?
I like the Infinity War thing, Infinity Gauntlet thing. I just think Thanos looks a bit mince.
Really?
It was big, kind of purple guy, big chin. Nah, he does look cool in the comics, but the way I've seen him so far.
Like in Guardians of the Galaxy, he's just chunky, big, purple man.
He's in Guardians of the Galaxy for like 3 minutes. He's in a post-credit scene in the original Avengers years ago, which turned to wet myself.
Yeah, yeah.
I wet myself, I was like, oh my god. And then we saw him in the Guardians of the Galaxy, which was just last year.
Yeah.
And now we saw him in this post-credit scene as well, it's like.
Another review that I read said something like that, like the mid-credit scene or something is just kind of like, it's a nod.
It's really underwhelming.
What's going to happen? And it is a little
bit off of that. Like, it was really big, wasn't it? When they first started, it was like, post-credit scenes. Post-credit scenes.
But then, did you see the fake post-credit scene, though? The fake one was quality. Aye, the fake one was brilliant. I shouldn't have done that. Should have totally went with that. But anyway, got to wrap it up. So, what we're saying, Avengers, did you like it, Tommy?
Yeah. I'll give it 75 out of 100.
Pretty okay. I'd give it 90. Out of 90.
Interesting. Okay. March.
And I would give it custard cream out of biscuits.
See, in my book, that's quite poor, but.
I'm a big fan of custard creams.
Well, then that's all it counts. Ding it out.
There we have it. Another one bites the dust. What did we think, boys? Good again?
Not too bad.
Thank you very much. Yes, it was lovely.
You always sound a little bit insincere when you're saying that.
Like we've paid you to come here or something.
Again.
Cha-ching.
For you. Well, we can safely say it's fucking better than last week, or last time, I should say. We are still looking for an artist for our comic, Greg and I. So if you want to get in touch with us, or you want to get in touch with any other comments or abuse, as we're always open to, it's at Desert Wales on Twitter. It's at The Desert Wales on Instagram. The Desert Wales on Facebook. And if you just want to go with the old-fashioned email, it's thedesertwales@gmail.com. Am I forgetting anything else?
No, I think that's it, man. A lot of Desert Wales contact information there, which no one ever fucking uses. So.
Ken, that's... See that? Hear that? Hear that? That's for you guys that didn't ever contact us. We just want some friends.
I'd be open to abuse. I'd take abuse.
Which is enemies. Maybe we just get some enemies.
Nemesis. Is that a word? Nemesis? Nemesis I.
No, I think that's it.
Enemies.
So, if you do want to get in contact with us, especially about an artist, not really especially about an artist, just if you are an artist or you have any comments, do contact us. And until next time, it's cheerio. Again.
And bye.
Bye-bye.
Tommy, you always sound so, I don't know, happy.
I'm happy it's another successful podcast in the bag.
Again, with the insincerity. Right. Cheerio. Bye.